Well, this is unbelievable. Ed Cavalier on his high horse this morning. George Columbaris has just wheeled in a plate of sushi. Of course, he has to work for himself now because he can't pay anyone. No, you are using both your Logies as chopsticks this morning. You are out of control, Cavalier.
I have not, I have not been crowing about the fact that my show, Have You Been Paying Attention, won a couple of Logies.
Two Logies.
I'm not here to talk about that, and I'm not here
I'm
to say...
I'm going
to
butt-plug you with one of those Logies if you don't stop carrying on.
Thank you, mate.
All day.
Look at me Logie. Look at this other Logie. I've got two of them.
Bang, cop that.
It's not about who butt-plugged with what at the Logie,
no,
friends. Also, Wally Lewis.
That's
Wally
Richard
Lewis
Wilkins' job.
Willie Lewis joined us. Gordon Tallis joined us. He was from a table of scumbags. That was quite remarkable. They were actually in the dark in the room. So we'll hear some of that from young Gordon. And then, of course, what else happened on the show?
The Lord Mayor, Graham Quirky, joined us. He had quite a unique invite for you, Marta.
No, everything seemed to go back to the Logies today. It was quite
magnificent.
Let's not
forget
that Molly was filmed in Brisbane and that Quirky was a big part of that. And that's when our feud started, Robin, when I introduced him to a couple of people on that shoot, and he turned around and said he didn't know who I was.
Name tags, people.
Not anymore.
He knows who you are now, mate.
He definitely does.
Knows who I am now. Thank
you
all.
You're the only bloke walking around Brisbane with a Logie in each hand.
Enjoy the catch-up. Enjoy yourselves.
Logie's Day, Logie's Day. First time I'd ever watched the Logies because Ed was going to be there and I had a nomination and you said you weren't going to win anything. And I thought, I'll just watch for a little bit. How funny is that Dave Hughes?
He's very good. He's
the best. Oh, my God. Could just give this a bit of run. This is having a crack at little Grant Denyer.
He's still an adrenaline junkie, though, isn't he? He's a racing car driver. About a month ago, he crashed his car into a tree at 160k an hour. The only thing that saved him was the seven pillows he was sitting on. And the booster seat.
Did you see he was actually sitting on a pillow last night?
Because
he's broken his coccyx.
Oh, right.
Oh, great.
And he was on one of those round pillows that leaves a hole for your butt.
For your bit. You know, I saw him too, Grant, and his hand was all taped up
as
well.
Yeah, he had strapping on his left hand.
Yeah, he did pretty well to be there. That was a pretty full-on crash.
He didn't win, though, did he? Anything?
No, I think they won last year. Our Family Feud won last year as well.
Taking turns.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, but let's go. I love the fact that I knew you was on. I thought, I'm going to watch the Logies. I love to go to bed early on a Sunday night. But then the first nomination, I went, this is good. This is good because Ed said he'll go home straight after his nomination. And here's Yuzi.
TV Week Logie for Best Entertainment Program. And the nominees are...
The Voice, Nine Network, Arne's Brush with Fame, ABC, Family Feud, Have You Been Paying Attention, Network 10.
And the TV Week Logie goes to...
Who is it?
Have You Been Paying Attention?
Yes! Drop
it.
So good. And you're so tall, and even more so on telly.
Oh, yeah, you are a sitting down on telly type of guy. You're so much bigger than Tom and Sam.
So we were not, it's one of those, we weren't expecting to win. We weren't expecting to win because we're up against The Voice, a show that people, it was potentially the biggest show in the whole of Australia.
Channel 9.
And it's also a Channel 9 show. When you got there, Robin, when you walked into the Logies, they had a chair, one of the judges' chairs that you could sit in, a voice chair. You know, the spinny, roundy chairs?
Oh, dear.
And everyone was doing the same thing. They were getting in and smashing the little button they had. And this poor promo girl had to keep saying, the chair doesn't spin. Please stop smashing the button.
That's brutal.
And you're in the nosebleed seat, so you were thinking, definitely
And then you're
not
up
winning.
Against Arne Doe, who that show's brilliant. Larry does interviews with people, and it's all wonderful and beautiful.
Yeah, it's one of those too. It's all ABC, so you often think, they're trying to make them feel, themselves feel better, give it to him. But then they, it was very kind, a bit of fun. We won, and Tom turned to me just before we went up, and he said, because the camera was right in our face.
Yeah.
And I looked down, and there's someone, who holds the cable for the camera. There's the camera person and the cable person. And they were holding the camera, this girl, and she was, ducked right down. So she was, stuck between Sam and Chrissy Swan. And I was looking at them, and I'm like, this is weird. And then she looked at me, and she sort of started, giving me a little bit of a nod. And I thought, she wants me. And then
that's what happens on Logie night.
I thought, I'm on here. Yeah. And then, she was just sort of giving us a vague heads up. And then Tom turned to me just before we went up and goes, mate, I think we might be a chance here. Have you got, I'll throw to you. Have you got a joke? And I was like, oh my God.
You're kidding.
Oh no.
I wanted to ask you, were you ready? Because you at all stages, you say, I know you say things, but I thought you said we're out no chance whatsoever.
I didn't think.
Delta and Seal will be up there saying thanks very much for
so
our
award.
So
what were you doing then as you're walking up going, oh, Christ, what's a good joke?
Just trying to think. Yeah, just doing what I do here for 4 hours a day, just trying to think, Jesus, better say something funny or I'll get sacked.
Oh, it came out pretty well. Can we play it? It goes for a little, it goes for 30 seconds or so. Yeah. But have a listen. I thought it was beautiful acceptance speech. Tom Gleisner first, then I think you and Sam Pegg. Somehow you got to run.
Thank you very much. It's a long walk from table 52. Much appreciated. Okay. We're delighted to be here. This show's actually been on air for 4 years now, or half a dozen Channel 10 boards, depending on how you do the maths. We're delighted to still be here. It was a slow start. I had to look up Wikipedia, Ed, if you'd be so kind. We started, according to Wikipedia, have you been commenced in November 2013 with disappointing ratings, followed by a change in time slot and format. What was the format change?
I can take this. We changed our format a lot. When we first started, first thing we did, we get rid of the cooking, singing, renovating, and we added some diversity.
Here you go.
Konnichiwa.
Just pointed at Boom. Sam Pang, your Asian guy.
Woo! Love
the
it.
Asian bloke, say diversity.
See, you did it. Okay.
There
you
went.
Gimme.
Okay. Bit of fun.
Well done, mate. Yeah, no,
thanks.
Hey, what about Gordy? You going to give us up that update?
Do we want to do this a bit later on? Because here are here are the names. So it was
Gordon, tell me who you ran into.
Gordy.
Yeah.
King Wally.
Yeah.
Ricky Ponting. Yeah. Damien Fleming.
Yeah.
Adam Gilchrist.
Oh.
The people from Selling Houses Australia.
Oh, stop
leave that one out.
Yeah. Oh, no, he'd love that. love Shana.
I brought them tears for a bit. That was good. Ian Healy.
Oh, Heels.
What's
he nominated for?
Fat Man. Me and Fatty Vaughton had a chat.
Oh, footy show,
what about Casey Donovan?
Jonathan, I was sitting about a metre and a half away from Casey Donovan, but she had her back to me, so I couldn't make eyes at her.
Oh. Did you see Molly last night? The Molly, as opposed to Sam Johnson, who played him?
Walked past their table, because they were right at the front. Saw Molly just very, very briefly, and saw Sam Johnson just very, very briefly, but didn't say hello.
Who's at
like
Molly's
that.
Table? Who's there, like all the oldies? Is that they put the Australian TV pensioner table together?
I think Gadinski was there, and then some of the other people that were involved in the Molly telling movie,
He had a female minder so that when Sam Johnson won the gold, Sam went up first and started the speech, and then Molly interrupted with this.
Can I just tell you something that you never do as an actor or as a TV presenter? You never say, I'll keep going. You never say to anyone here, do yourself a f***ing favour, right?
It was, and then she pulled him back. Yeah, and then she pulled him back, and then he couldn't wait anymore, and then he came back out again. But it was all a bit sad for me, to be honest. Mm. I just was kind of like, oh, Mole. And it was embarrassing, and people didn't know what to do because he was clearly trying to tell stories. And I wondered if that was what it was like on the night behind the scenes.
No, you just sort of feel for Mole because he's such a legend. And Countdown was such a huge show. It changed things, it was.
Been a while
it was groundbreaking, and he was. I remember on Hey Hey, they used to just sort of make fun of him. He'd come out, and they'd all play those crazy sound effects. And I don't know, he's been around for so long. You're right. It's sometimes you want everyone to always be at the peak of their powers.
I hadn't watched the Logies, but it moved along at a cracking pace. They had funny bars like Peter Hellier was up, and they seemed to have comedians doing a lot of stuff.
They've learnt their lesson, mate. Where if you get comedians and good comedians to come up and present, like Hamish and Andy and Peter Hellier and even Shane Jacobson, that it means just in the room it's far less boring, and at home it's far less boring.
Well, you don't have actors and actresses getting on their high horse and reading things out with their their favourite charity, thinking that that might be interesting.
The cause célèbre, they call it.
Can we just give one a run? He gave Hughesy's opening. Dave Hughes's opening was magnificent, and I read an article on Saturday. He was going, yes, I know I've got to hit a lot of people. I've got to be a bit careful about some. He nailed nearly everyone. He got Grant Denyer. Yeah. He'd give him a slap on the back, and then he'd give him a kick, then he'd give him a slap on the back on the way out. Yeah. I don't know whether he'd even had this prepared, but he threw in one about Grant Hackett after he talked about Grant Denyer. So something, it went along the lines of this.
He's back filming. He's here tonight. Good on you, Grant, Not like Grant Hackett. Grant Hackett, I'm going to rehab again. Well, listen this time, all right, so...
That's
in reference to Grant, yeah, maybe enjoying today, rehab too much.
It might just be in the world of blogs, because who cares what they say, but people are trying to have, it's having a go, saying that Hughesy's gone too far on someone with mental health issues.
Oh, like, no.
Is this where we've got to? Is it, as a society, Robin, is this where we've got to? Well, like, that is, A, the hardest job in show business. You've got to walk out to a room full of showbiz people that haven't had a drink.
Yeah,
that can be quite judgmental,
yep.
And you've got to hook people into the Logies telecast at home. Dave Hughes is a Category 1 genius,
yep.
And the job he does is almost impossible, and he nails it every single time, and he knows exactly where that line is. And to go now and say, oh, he's been mean to Grant. No, he hasn't been mean to Grant. This is Australia. We poke fun at each other. We
That's
make
what we
jokes.
Do.
And, what and do you want to become? Seriously.
A lot of the guys, like the international stars, those two singers, were saying the thing they loved the most is that we absolutely take the mickey out of ourselves.
It is Australia. We have a guy called Hoppo from Bondi Rescue that accepts awards. How can we take ourselves seriously?
Are you only one Logie behind Hoppo?
Hoppo's on to five. Hoppo's on five.
You're catching two. Him.
But, it,
him
but if you want to see some wonderful behind-the-scenes shots that Ed has taken at the Logies, they are up on our Facebook page, our Triple M Facebook page. Ed, even a couple of times, you're smiling.
Oh, mate, whoa. I was with Wally Lewis. I couldn't be stopped.
Got the whiff of alcohol.
Drag me off him. Big news, guys. Manny Pacquiao's in town. Manny
yes.
Pacquiao is in town.
What, so now?
No, he is. Promoting the fight with our young Jeff Horn.
Did we you see the latest on that, Ed? Not only is the fight on July the 2nd, but Manny Pacquiao has now looked to insert into the contract a guaranteed return fight if he in Brisbane in November if he loses.
What?
Yep.
That's fantastic. Double your Pacquiao. Well, to tell us more about that, and I believe he's also got a an invitation for you, it's time to say hello to our very good friend, Mayor Graham Quirk. Morning, Quirky.
Well, good morning, Logie legend Ed. How are you?
Listen, now you want to know him, don't you? You've had a feud with him for a couple of years, and now he's won the Logie. You want to be his mate, Quirky?
I got to bow down before him now, mate. That's for sure.
I tell you what, Quirky, it was a big night, my friend. And listen, you should take some credit because Molly was a big winner on the night. Gold Logie, it won a couple of others as well. And, of course, you were part of helping bringing that production to Brisbane. The whole thing was shot in and around Brisbane. So well done you, sir.
Oh, no. Well, we've been kicking a few goals in the movie world and TV world of late, which is good for Brisbane.
Remind everyone, you met Samuel Johnson while they were filming in the City Hall right next to your office.
Yes.
Were you telling your wife and everyone last night, I met him because of Ed?
Well, I should be, shouldn't I? I should be telling the world that, Ed. Yeah, thank you very much for bringing him over and introducing him too.
Look, you know what, Quirky? I do what I can for Brisbane, buddy. We've all just got a muck in. Now, what else is going on? I believe you got in touch with our producer and you said you've got a little something you want to ask Mardo. And I thought, excellent. He's finally going to talk to him about all those illegal wheelie bins that he's got to be
shut. That's not true, Quirky. No, what's this about? You got a hold of me the other day and asked me about playing cricket tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. So Mardo is going to be a part of what's called the Lord Mayor's 11. And this is a match which has now been going for several years, which is called the Shell Green Match. And it's a part of Anzac Day history that not too many people know about. When we had the Aussies out there on Anzac Cove having a bit of a game of cricket, the Turks thought they'd settled in, but all the while they were actually, it was a diversionary tactic during preparations for the evacuation of Anzac Cove in 1915. So,
wow, I didn't know that.
No, exactly. So to commemorate it, the ADF, Defence Forces, and this year the Lord Mayor's 11 will play off at the Brookfield Showground. Now, Mardo, you are a part of the Lord Mayor's 11, and I'm counting on you for this one.
Who else is in there?
Well, we've got people like Brisbane Heat players, Luke Feldman. He's a pace bowler. He'll be on the side. Heidi Burkett. She's a great Heat player as well. So she's an all-rounder. She'll be there. So, Mardo, we've got you down playing at Silly Point, mate.
Yeah, man. No.
I'm like Molly. You can't do any more brain damage to me, mate. It'll all be fine.
Well, it was the closest we could get you for all the sledging you're required to do.
Hey, Rhino, let's not talk about the cricket. Can we quickly talk about Horn? He's coming to Brisbane to do a promo today.
Yes. Pacquiao is.
Oh, Pacquiao's not on.
Yeah, Manny Pacquiao will be here between today and Wednesday. And a lot of it is to do with the contract. So we'll be doing filming, making sure that Brisbane and Queensland is well promoted during the lead-up, but in particularly during the live coverage of the fight. That's what it was all about, making sure we get plenty of vision of Manny and Jeff in as the fight progresses on the day.
And is there this any is truth crazy. To the rumour that Tony Abbott might be an undercard fighter against some Labor guy?
Oh, look, I reckon whoever wrote that had their tongue firmly in their cheek. I can't see that happening.
Yeah, I think we all know it's you fighting me on the undercard.
Well, that seems to be gaining momentum, that one, doesn't it?
Well, Pacquiao, you're saying you're going to get all the pictures, you know, for all the, you know, semi-ads. Where's he going in Brisbane? Is he going to Mount Guther? Is he going to South Bank? What's he doing? Going in front of Forex?
He'll be doing all of the tourism things that you need to do. So it'll be several landmarks, not only, as I say, in Brisbane, because the Queensland government are putting money in as well, obviously. So there'll be different parts of the state that will be engaged.
He'll be punching some coral and stuff like that.
Hey, that's just great. This is so great, Quirky. This is great for Brisbane. We're so excited about the fight, and we're so excited to see how Mato goes tomorrow as part of the Anzac Day cricket and the Lord Mayor's 11. Have a great Anzac Day, Quirky. We'll catch you soon.
Thank you very much, team.
Cheers, bro.
On you, mate.
Okay, the jury's out for me today. Of course, it is the day before Anzac Day. We've just come off a weekend, and there is a lot of speculation that people are chucking sickies. This was certainly the story on Channel 9 last night.
Pitted between the weekend and Anzac Day, tomorrow could see up to 300,000 people around the nation chuck a sickie.
Oof. Is that a lot?
It is, I think, for all those bosses whose staff aren't turning up and they have to find someone else. That's a fair whack.
Hold on, let's transfer that to Brisbane. Let's say 300,000 workers not going to in Australia. So we're what? Are we 2 million people? Sydney 6 million, Melbourne's 5 million. Is that the way
we
roll?
We'll go there.
All right, so let's say that's 70,000 people in Brisbane not going to work today.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a lot?
Doesn't feel. I thought it would be more, to be honest. I thought this would be a bigger sickie day.
Well, if we hadn't come off Easter and we weren't having May Day like next weekend, it possibly would have been.
Didn't Australia Day this year fall on a Thursday? Am I correct? I think I am. And a lot of people took the Friday off as well and turned it into Aussie Day Easter. And then there was last week was the real Easter and this is Anzac Easter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the problem is if you're an employee, you just take an annual day of leave, wouldn't you?
Or you check a sickie.
But if you're a subby, if I'm working on an hourly rate and I'm not making any money lately, I'd have to go to work, surely. I don't know if there's a thing or not, we won't know if it's a thing, will we? Because people who aren't going to work won't be listening to us this morning and ring us and going, I'm not going to work. If you're not going to work, you don't turn
you're
the radio
asleep.
On.
Yeah. If you're not going to work, you're not
you're
awake.
You're fishing.
Who is going to work? Because it's also the different industries too. What's going to be...
Actually, we should get a feel. Can you tell us what do you already know? Because there's some people who have already started, of course. Who is there somebody not turned up? You're going, what do you mean Moose isn't coming today? What about Steve-O? You know, give us a feel on what you know about today. Is anyone actually going to go to work? Are we going to have why would we bother about school?
Well, my kids would be stoked if a whole lot of teachers rang up and said, yep, not doing it today.
Teachers don't miss school, do they?
No, they don't.
David's from Caloundra. David, why are you going to work, mate?
Well, mate, got a job to finish. Got to finish it.
you don't get paid, do you, Dave?
No, mate, I'm a chibi, mate. We don't get paid unless we work, so.
But you're coming from Caloundra, so have you been on the roads?
Yeah, the traffic just doesn't exist, mate. There's more than 70,000 people off work today, I guarantee you that.
Righto, that's the best one ever. So, Dave, you normally drive down on the Bruce Highway at this time?
Yep, every day, mate.
Righto, so they're all taking the day off, a lot of the boys.
Yeah, mate, there's no tradies on the road, there's no... Normal. Even the trucks are really light today, mate.
Dave, your bills don't alter. Now, you had Friday off, Good Friday off, Easter Monday, you have next Monday off. Mate, the money's a problem at this time of year. Everyone who's on a wage thinks, this is great. But for you?
Yeah, mate, it just sucks. But people don't want you working at their house over Easter either.
That's right.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, so you can't just show up and do it. But today we're working for a different person. So
what are you doing, Newies or Renos, mate?
Reno at the moment, mate.
Oh, good one. Plenty of work around?
Yeah, mate, we got plenty on. Like we got three bathrooms in this one house, so then we've already done the deck and whatnot. So,
good one.
Yeah. So we got plenty of work on, but the traffic's just not existent, mate. It just doesn't exist,
mate.
Today.
And you're at Caloundra every day, living the dream. Thanks, bro.
No worries. Have a good one. Thanks, mate.
See ya. See, but if I lived on the sunny coast, I wouldn't be wanting to drive to Brisbane if I had a chance not to.
I know, but that's what he's saying is bills don't have a little Easter reduction in them or anything like that. You've got to do the work.
Ben is from Kashmir. Ben, what's going on, mate? You're at work today?
Yeah, mate. Just rolled up at a job site. I'm an apprentice sparky with a wife, two kids, and a mortgage to pay. And the boss is the one that's been chucking all the sickies with all the public holidays. So been struggling to make ends meet because of the short week. So
what does that mean to you? You can't work if the boss doesn't work.
Yeah, so I've had to chase around some other contractors and work direct with them just to make ends meet over these short weeks.
Shouldn't you get a fixed rate as an apprentice?
Well, you know, you're a trader yourself, so you know what happens in small businesses. It's they can't really afford to pay you full days when there's rain days and stuff.
Mate, when I was an apprentice, my boss went overseas for 3 months on a holiday, and I had to find my own work.
Yeah, that's right. Makes it pretty hard for you.
You sound like an older guy too, Ben. So you've come to being a sparky later?
Yeah, I was a IT guy for over 17 years and decided to make the career change because I couldn't do 18 hours a day, 7 days a week anymore.
Mm. Sitting on your bum.
Good call.
Oh, nice one, mate. Oh, well, you'll get through this. You know what's going on in the world.
Good on you, Ben. Hey, Alistair from Annerley, you're going to work. What do you do, Alistair?
G'day. I work at a school at Sheldon College. We're doing a big Anzac Day service this morning. And I think a lot of schools would be in the same boat. Teachers are turning up to prep for an Anzac Day service, and usually there's a lot of learning attached to that with learning about Anzac and history.
That's fabulous. But, Alistair, the reality, you just heard us talking about the traffic, and it doesn't appear to be everyone's not going to work. Does that mean if your parents are going to work, the kids won't go to school?
Oh, look, I think some parents do take that option to keep their kids away from school. Obviously, children have to follow suit with what the parents' plans are. But I can tell you that most teachers will be at work today.
Yeah, most. I bet.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Alistair.
Take one more. Who we got? Tim. Tim Lockyer Valley.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, what are you seeing out there, mate?
Oh, yeah, traffic's pretty much normal, I think, out here. I'm heading into work.
Where are you working?
I work in corrections.
Wacol there?
Oh, between Wacol and Barallan, yeah.
Thank God you're working, mate.
Yeah, can't have a sickie. Prisoners don't go home for the weekend, or do they?
Well, if you think back to like Gallipoli and Kokoda Trail and, you know, the Somme, they didn't have a day off. They didn't throw a sickie. So it's out of respect.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, look at you. Do many correctional officers chuck sickies?
No, we're pretty flexible there. You can do a change of duty, but we've got a lot of ex-servicemen, so a lot of people will swap shifts for them so they can
attend. Off for tomorrow.
Anzac Days.
Oh, nice call. Of course
good
you
on
would.
You, Tim. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, good.
Appreciate the call, Tim. Mate. Have a nice day.
I think we're actually just melting down one of Ed Cavalier's Logies for the money today to give away.
Because aren't you attached to five of them now, Ed?
Yeah, I think I'm up to about five or six if we're starting to have like
we've never talked this much Logies before in all our time, but a two-time Logie winner last night, Ed Cavalier, well played.
No, enough about me because I've been telling you, I ran through my list of people that I ran there, right? All of the Bachelors, Lee Castledine, Casey Donovan, James Blunt, Miguel, the Bondi Vet. What about some guy from Neighbours? He was there. Matty Johns, Jonathan Brown, the people from Shark Tank. But the biggest name and the happiest
the one
heels.
We love.
Love seeing heels. But when I walked back through the room, I'd seen him and I had said to Pang, I was sitting next to Sam Pang, I go, oi, I got to go grab this bloke. This is the only person I really want to talk to while I'm here tonight. And then I finally went for another walk and I cornered him. I found him and I got to say hello. And it was, of course, King Wally Lewis. Morning, Wall.
Good morning, mate. You're still celebrating?
Yeah, just getting home now. Thanks, Wall.
He's hardly Brendan Favola, Wall.
Congratulations, mate. Well done.
Thanks, mate. Wally, we couldn't get Gordy Tallis up. Remind us, who was at Gordy Tallis's table, Ed?
Wall, remember you and I had a conversation about Gordy Tallis, Wall, about how he was going?
He's going very well. I think he's still going, actually.
Yeah, I think that might be the case. This was the table while you and I were laughing at, because you very wisely were sitting with like Lofty and some like classy Channel 9 people on what I was calling the table of scumbags was Gordy Tallis, Fletch Hindy, Matty Johns didn't even sit with them. And then, of course, Gordy Tallison, Dermot Brereton. Jeez Louise, what a rogues gallery, Wal.
Yeah, I heard one person describe that as table described as the den of iniquity, that place. And, not a safe place to be, to stay away from it. And it didn't matter the, if you weren't feeling that you were being rubbished before. No. You knew that after visiting the table, you were going to cop some. And Gordon said that that's just the way that the boys look at it. Their general discussion is about seeing who they can bag, where and when, and how many of the judges were incorrect, seeing that they didn't win a single award for the night. So
that's right. That is true.
I'm getting a bit cranky towards the end.
Hey, well, Ed's been telling us all morning about his wanderings from his table to go and see everyone else, the famous people in Australian TV. Who impresses you?
From
the world of last night in the room, like who did you go, wow, I've got to go over and have a chat to them?
I reckon I've covered just about everybody in the entire place last night, got around to seeing it. Richard Wilkins is always a guy that I enjoy talking about. One of the guys said to me, if there's anything that in the world that Richard Wilkins hasn't spoken about in the last 24 hours, it's not worth knowing about anyway. So
that's the truth, isn't it? He's the oracle.
I certainly always enjoy his company. He's a great fella.
Hey, Wally, what's your Logie rundown? Because you've been a number of years. Do you, you know, go early, try and get to bed early? Do you stay to the bitter end? Do you pace yourself?
Well, a few years ago, we used to bat on right until the end of the evenings and then enjoy a little bit of a snooze in the plane on the way home. But yes. I've just got to that stage. I'm 57 years of age now, so it's just one of those situations where I realise that I am no chance of being able to read the news the following night if I get on the terps the evening before. So I look after myself, and it really is a boring evening. One glass of red wine doesn't ensure that I'm going to have a good time. So, mate, I'm in the pre-pensioners league at the moment, but at least it guarantees that I'm going to have a job tomorrow. Put it that way.
Hey, were there any little starlets like from Australian TV who came up and said, "Oh, my dad loves you. Well, can I get a selfie?" Was there any of that action?
No, I didn't have it about me. I had quite a few young ladies come up to me and say, where's your son Lincoln? As far as I know at the moment, I'm not working as his manager, so go and find out yourself. Oh,
that's great, mate. That's fun. Hey, well, I got home last night and I was showing my wife Tiff all the photos, you know, the people with me. Oh, there's me and Pang and Tommy with our Logies. There's me with Miguel from the living room because she works on that show. And I said, and I waited, you were at the end. And I go, and have a look at this, Tiff. Who is that photograph with? The photograph I want. And she stared at it for ages and she goes, I can't quite place his face. And then I said, that's Wally Lewis. And I swear this is what she said to me. She goes, oh, I didn't recognize him without his crown on. I love it.
I thought there was going to be a hairline joke in there about three all out of place.
She knows you as the king. Thanks, buddy. Good to see you.
Good to talk to you guys.
This is one of my favourite things to do on a Monday is I bring the women's magazine stories to you two and you tell me whether they're rubbish or not. Okay, let us start first with just a special mention for Grant Kenny, who apparently is back with Fifi Box, and we know that because, and this is the quote, I've never seen Grant this happy, reveals one surf club mate.
Yes. That is the longest bow they could possibly draw. So it's a secret relationship. Yes. Fifi's on the radio every day talking about her life, and she's very open.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't like talking about him, though, does she? So they had to go to the surf club up there at Marucci. Well,
so hang on. So someone, they've stood in the front. They've stood in the pub at the thing. Hi, I'm from New Idea. anyone here know anything about Fifi Box? Oh, yeah, mate. Yeah, what is it? Yeah. Oh, never been happier. Cheers, mate. What a load of garbage.
What page is that on?
Yeah, that's the second story. Yeah, Fifi and Grant's shock proposal. She said yes. Now, when you actually read that, that's absolutely not true. And apparently it was only after Lisa Curry, his former wife, got on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and said that she wanted a divorce, that Grant got a knock to the head and realised that Fifi Box was, in fact, the love of his life.
Oh, rubbish. What is that magazine? Because I saw
Woman's Day.
One of Kath's recently before she got to the crossword. I peered over and there was a bloke leaving Fifi's. They had a photo of Grant sneaking out of Fifi's house a while ago, and it was another bloke sneaking out the same gate and walking up the same laneway. Two photos, same laneway, different blokes.
Lucky Fifi.
Fifi, talk about that on radio. Getting it out there.
Okay, getting the second story that you two need to give me some sort of idea on. Finally, the truth. The real reason Brad is wasting away. This is Brad Pitt. Now,
what's he wasting
they
away?
Are claiming that he has an infectious disease.
Oh, ooh. God. Well, cold
what,
sores?
What do you mean, like a sexual one?
I don't know. They said that he's been visiting this private visits to a Beverly Hills office of a prominent infectious disease specialist. Mind you, the facts are quite clear. He has lost 18 kilos in the last 4 months.
Yeah, but also, you've got to remember that when he was on his adoption tour of the globe with Angelina, like they went everywhere in the world. Like he
stole
could have
some kitties in Bangladesh, then they headed over to Africa and scooped a couple up, didn't they?
Well, he could have dengue fever. He could have Ebola. He could have polio.
What's his old wife's name?
Angelina.
See, she's having a crack. She's planted this story.
Well, he did have viral meningitis after a trip to Ethiopia in 2005. Yeah. That's a fact.
How many did they get that day?
Yeah.
What was in the net that day? They just pull up the crab pot. Oh, here's a couple of kitties. Let's take them
home. So you don't think that one's true?
I think there's some
truth
in
that one.
No, yeah, he's got,
Wouldn't he have a partner movie that needs him to be thin or something or other? That'll be what it is.
Not 18.
Yeah, you know, he grows his hair long.
He's a method actor, so he's just contracted diphtheria.
Yeah.
What's this like?
Okay, and my final one. This is my all-time favourite. Yana Pittman. Remember Yana Pittman?
Hold on.
She was a runner.
Hurdler?
Yeah, I think she was a hurdler. She was Australian athletic. She never quite made it to Olympic gold.
She was trying to be at the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, she's one of those girls. Anyway, she's got a new biography out, and in it she claims that she had an affair with Albert, the Prince of Monaco. Now, I just want to read you some of the grabs from this because it's brilliant. Albert asked me if I wanted to escape back to his apartment. He showed me round his plush pad. It was very high up with stunning views. He was an amazing kisser and I was besotted. But when he asked me to stay the night, I told him I wasn't sure it was appropriate. So we agreed he would sleep on the lounge and I would sleep in the bed. I then left the next day.
Wait,
it gets better. He rang me every few days for 6 months, she infused, revealing they tried to be in each other's company but struggled to find a way. Then, this is the kicker, I dropped my phone in water and lost all my numbers, including
his. How convenient.
I tried to ring the palace, but of course, that went nowhere.
The palace, 1300 Monaco Palace.
Hello.
Hello, is the prince there?
Can I speak to anyone who's got a Prince Albert? Anyone. Just anyone.
What about the nerve of Ed Cavalli? He's just ducked out to use his logie as a spoon to make his coffee. Can you believe it?
Classy.
What about
it? Love you. Ed, can you just tell me, Ed, who was your favourite dressed chick?
Oh, who I thought looked the nicest?
Yeah.
There's always a couple of home and away girls, you don't know who they are, but you can tell they're very actressy, and they always look very
nice.
What
about Jessica Murray? She looked gorgeous.
You keep saying that. She looks nice. She's very pretty, but good luck to her.
I can never remember. You know those meetings we have where we're not allowed to talk about this anymore. Are we allowed to talk about?
Either. Yeah, this is Robin.
Who had surprisingly big natural boobs. Are we allowed to talk about that anymore?
Of course we are.
If they're going to put them out there for the Logies, you can talk about them because that's why they're putting them out there.
Who did have surprisingly large natural boobs?
Don't do that. You were going to. I thought you were going to.
I'm not offering.
Okay. Well, I would. Here we go. I would say that Delta's dress was cut really close to her boobs, and she is obviously natural, and she looked gorgeous.
She's obviously natural.
Yeah, Delta Goodrum.
I'm saying fake.
No, they're natural, aren't they, Brendo? Thanks very much.
Yeah.
I thought she looked gorgeous.
I walked past Delta backstage, and I wasn't looking, but they did look natural.
Thank you very much. Who looked fake then?
No, not fake, but I'd say that if the category is who has. What has this turned into? Who's got nice natural boobs?
I don't know. I just wanted to know.
Get him out.
Yeah,
we're very close. Very close. That's a yellow. I've put a yellow on the table.
Get to there.
The king, Wally Lewis, on the way up. Nice and early.
I'm the king. I'm the king.
Because I
somehow slipped that in without you even noticing.
You still got a yellow. You're on a yellow.
I think that if you use the phrase "slip that in without you even noticing," that's Richard Wilkins' pickup line at the logo.
See, that's a yellow card too. Yeah.
No, that's okay.
Oh no, he's got two logos.
You're both off. See you later.
A person called Rachel Finch.
Miss Universe, 2009.
What, the whole universe, was
no,
she?
No, she didn't win, but no. She was the Australian candidate.
Yeah, well, don't
Miss
call
universe.
Her Miss Universe. Call her Miss Australia, but don't call her Miss Universe.
No, a former Miss Universe.
All right, well, they're calling her a model mother, Rachel Finch, and her two beautiful children. There was an article about her, and I started reading for some strange reason. The former Townsville beauty and husband, Michael Misner, determined to raise their children in a world free of the ubiquitous sugary treats most of us associate with childhood simple joys. This is why I kept reading. I went, hold on, we have it here. We've got people who don't like sugar. And I know adults, they have a choice. They make the choice. I'm going to stop sugar. Good on you. And it's worked for a lot of people.
A lot of weight
people
loss.
Can't control themselves. And she won Dancing with the Stars, this Rachel Finch, the former Dancing with the Stars winner. All right, so the diet presented some challenges, especially around, and here we go, particularly around other parents who don't adhere to such a strict food philosophy. Sometimes at birthday parties, parents don't have sandwiches or sushi or fruit.
Sushi
at a kid's birthday party.
Sushi.
Fruit. If anyone, they don't eat fruit at birthday parties. That's when you force them to eat stuff. So before she goes, this is her little one. What a fun life she must have. I make sure she is full of healthy food. I'm with her, and while I don't say no to everything, she understands it's a treat when she has a tiny slice of birthday cake. Eating disorder. I can see it straight away.
What,
disgusted
her,
with
what,
my wife.
Rachel or
all
the child?
Oh, well, obviously both, but this child, I've seen that this child will be deeply, deeply troubled
what,
by the time
she doesn't
she is
eat
14.
Sugar?
Yep, no, because of the control this mother is exerting upon her life. You've got to let them have things. You know what? Kath made the point to me. I said, read this article, tell me what you think. Having been a stay-at-home mother until the kids went to high school, always having chocolate, always having fruit, having options in the thing. Our kids have been able to eat chocolate. Neither of our kids, by choice, have any chocolate in their life. They've been able to have chocolate their whole life. I don't know. If you deny kids something, there's nothing they'll want more. This kid will either be... This kid, well, having a model mother, she'll want to be skinny, but somehow she may turn into the fattest little girl you'll have ever seen.
Ooh.
Trying to deny everything.
See,
you can't control your kids in this way.
My take on that was that this is her first. That kid will get to aged five, Violet, will go to school, and then she'll realise that the battle is lost. But if she maintains it, I think you're
like
going to ostracise her.
She'll
that would
see
be my
How
take.
Would you like to be in this woman, this Rachel Adams, what's her name, Rachel Finch. Finch? How would you like to be in her mother's group?
It'd be tough.
Oh, my God. Well, no, you couldn't.
Lovely.
She couldn't have any friends.
Why? Oh, Mardo. Why? Oh. Because she denies her child sugar?
Yeah, exactly. What does that say? This says this girl is living in such a bubble. You just told me before when I pointed out what I was going to talk about, you said she married the bloke she danced with in Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
Bang.
What does bang mean? What do you mean?
Is that where you're meeting people, inside the bubble of television and Dancing with the Stars? That's where you're meeting your partner?
Well, yeah, probably. Well, it was in Rachel's case. So what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about denying kids stuff?
If you deny them something, it's going to backfire. But I did see your point. Maybe it'll come good by the time a kid goes to school and someone will knock some sense
into
it.
What do you reckon, Ed?
Because I'm about to have a child. I'm about to have a child.
So, probably they don't care about this.
Well, you care.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because I'm about to have a child. And also, you've got to remember that my wife's family runs Taekwondo schools. So they see kids all day, every day. I reckon my wife's probably taught a couple of thousand kids over the journey.
And what do you think about deny? If you tell your kids you can't do anything, that's the thing they will want.
And she has always said that there's a fine line between when parents come in and give kids something as a treat, they're sort of chill with it, versus when they kind of covet something. So they'll kind of, if they're not allowed, Robin, ever to have insert little, you know, like a drink or a little treat, then they can really lose their minds when they're around other kids that have it and they just throw massive tantrums.
But she'll have sushi in her lunchbox at school. Will any other kids want that?
Well, it depends. See, the thing is, too, that the other people you should worry about are those that use food as a reward. Sometimes that can be a problem.
Well,
none of us know the answers. We do the best
we can.
How
many times you're driving along and your kids are making noise when they're a little, give them food, shuts them up. Ed, this is probably all bad stuff for you as a parent.
No, this is good for me. I need to hear this stuff. I've got absolutely no idea what
I'm
going to
do. It means your car becomes a wheelie bin with seats in it.
Mm-hmm. I don't want that.
No,
I do not want
that. It does.
Well, don't use food to shut them up because it will work. If they're like dogs, you just give them a bit of food and they'll shut up, but then they also shut. Anyway, let's go to Dave from Ipswich. What happens when you deny kids stuff, mate?
I went the other way, mate. I didn't deny anything, and now she makes the healthy choices herself. She's turned the packets over and starts reading all the calories and all the energies and all the sugar contents in them herself.
Was it always like that?
No. She ended up, she was a comfort eater going through the lives that we lived, and she ate to make herself comfortable. That was her little hideaway, and she grew big out of it. She grew excessively big out of it. And then she decided she wanted to turn her own life around. And I supported her with this. And she started to pay a lot more attention to her diet, putting sushi in the lunchbox. That's actually one of her favourite things to eat. Yeah, she did it all herself. And to be quite honest, hats off to her for doing that.
How old is she, Dave?
She's 14 now.
Good on her.
We're trying to learn from this. Would you do the same thing as you did, or would you show more guidance at the start?
I would show a lot more guidance at the start and stop trying to, as you said earlier, shut them up with food or allow her to comfort eat the way it was. Because obviously I encouraged her to put that weight on in the first place.
So. Thank you. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that. Thank you for your call. It's Matt from Mount Cotton. Now, Matt, we're talking about denying kids, in this particular instance, treats and sugar, and what kind of effect that has. What's your story?
Yeah, mate, we've got three kids, twins that are 8 and 10-year-old. And so we used to give our kids a bit of junk food. They used to go to parties and that. But we, since in the last 5 years, educated our children on healthy food. So we didn't actually have to bribe our kids for junk food or rubbish food. Food's a source of energy. It's a good source of, their development in their growing. So they're healthier. They don't have all the sugary stuff. They sleep better. They play better. They don't argue anything on what they used to. So we don't use food as any kind of leverage to get what we want from them. We just educate them to live a healthier lifestyle.
But you know what though, Matt, and also, I think kids mimic what their parents do. So if you eat healthily, your children will eat healthily. And as far as sushi's concerned, I know my kids, that is their all-time favourite pick.
My kids too.
They love it. And it's now in tuck shops at school because it's so popular.
Oh, is it?
Yep, you bet. So, but one of my
kids... Can you still buy sausage rolls in tuck shops?
I think so. Yeah. Are they amber food? I think they're amber food.
Amber Sherlock. Amber.
No.
Put a jacket on it.
Red, amber, green.
Oh, the bloody traffic lights. Robin from Redland Bay, what do you know?
I'm a HPE teacher, so we teach the kids about nutrition at school.
Yeah.
And the statistics are pretty scary. 2 out of 3 Australian adults are overweight or obese, and 1 in 4 kids are overweight or obese. So if we don't start teaching them healthy habits as kids, we're going to end up with a nation. As I was telling the guy who I rang through to, Australia is now ahead of America as the fattest nation in the world.
Per capita, we are.
Can I run capita. Thing by you, Robin? This is from an older health and PE teacher that I know. He's now retired.
Yep.
But 10 years ago, they decided to stop. Remember, they used to have health and PE in every private school, in primary school, and they used to do 2 sessions a week. They stopped that.
Yep.
Our government stopped that. And at that stage, my mate said, we are going to be fat very, very soon. And 10 years later, that's exactly what we are. Because there are kids at primary school. Don't worry, you're a secondary school teacher, I take it.
Yep.
Primary school, you're already getting those problems coming to you because they are not being exercised. Half those kids don't get any exercise in their whole life. They're the ones that are getting obese.
Well, we had our school cross country last week.
Yes,
and I saw
kids everywhere all over Brisbane. Yes.
I guarantee that only probably 10 kids in every age group actually ran the 3 kilometres. The rest of them walked because they couldn't run 3Ks.
True. I saw them myself.
Which as a teenager is absolutely horrendous for us.
Jesus, that is...
Somebody asked the government why I aren't doing any exercise in primary school. This is how it started, but why aren't we doing any exercise in primary school?
Well, they are now. They've brought a whole lot back for that very reason. And some lessons are actually done outside with sport.
No, they're asking the teachers of the class to do it, not proper professionals like that.
We've got to get them moving, though.
Got to get kids moving.
You've got to start somewhere.
Let's count how many Logie winners we've got in the room. You've not won one, Marto.
No.
You haven't won one, Robin. Oh, my God, with 2 Logies and Cavalli. What a night. I ran into some pretty big names after he won some Logies, and we're going to hear from him and the behind-the-scenes Logies wrap after 7.
Guys, I'm hiding my bit of paper from you two because I've just written down all of the people I spoke to.
All of them.
Oh,
all the people I spoke
Chrissy,
to.
Chrissy Swan, you said before, I don't want to give too much away.
One. Don't be like that. Let me tell you something.
Right.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Lee Castledine is on the list.
Hello.
Oh, my God.
from Survivor, and so is a young man by the name of Heels. You will know him as the proprietor of Hoppy's Hand Car Wash.
Sure do.
But for some reason, Ian Healy was at the Logies. You know what was happening?
Somehow turned Logies into a cricket night.
He was what he was doing, Robin, is just behind the stage because some of the people by the end of the night had a few drinks. Mm. Heels was just standing around in the gloves, and if you dropped it, he'd snaffle it before it hit the deck.
That is the type of guy he is. But while you were doing Logies, Marty, you were preparing for an 18th.
A wild 18th.
Well, I thought I was going to... Well, the wild 18th, which I prepared for on Friday and got ready on Saturday. I went to Perth Saturday the day and came home Sunday morning at 6 a.m. expecting to see a cyclone having hit my yard.
Carnage.
First ever 18th. We've had so many parties. Do you know, I've been in our house, or Kath and I have been in our house 20 years today.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Same house for 20 years.
Congratulations.
Big day.
That's awesome.
All right, so I've done it up from a 2-bedroom house, now 5-bedroom house. We've been doing that reno forever. And we've had, go through it. We've had a wedding, we've had 60ths, we've had 50ths, we had 40ths, we've had 30ths, we've had some hugely wild Australia Day parties for kids. We've had New Year's Eve parties, we've had 21st,
Gathos.
We've had 17ths, 16ths, 15ths, 14ths, all the way down. We've had Gathos, all of that. And some of them have been very wild. The Australia Day parties, for when the kids are around 15 and 16, were like those American movie frat house.
Ooh, debaucherous.
Oh, completely debaucherous. All right, so I come home. The place had been cleaned up. This is 6 a.m. I drove up the driveway yesterday morning from Perth, got the red eye, going, oh, she's going to be a big day today, cleaning up. Came home, the cleanest and the quietest party of all time, our first ever 18th birthday party at our house.
What?
Yeah, you know what they do? There was a beer pong table. This one of my nephews owns a beer pong table, YP Threads. It's a clothing company, big one for all the kids that are all starting to wear this crazy clothes, YP. So he's brought the beer pong table and about 4 cartons of beer, sort of sponsored the event. They drink beer, they play beer pong, that seemed to be the entertainment.
I don't even know what that is, but that's okay.
Look it up on YouTube.
I will.
I only just found out in the last year or so. It's funny as all hell if you're young. You don't want to be playing it at our age. All right, and then they all went to the Valley at 10:30. And the sister of the young bloke, Archie, lives at our place. The sister cleaned up the house. I come home and she's all done. No one, there was a few bodies, they'd come home from Valley nightclubs. 18ths are the easiest because they all go out.
So
they
can't
wait to leave your house. Every other party at our place, they all just wait, they linger, and you turn around and forth. After my 50th, there was a bloke there 2 days later still at my house. After the weddings, there's people asleep. While you're cleaning up, you go, oh, who's that one? There's people asleep in a hedge and things like this.
This was
the greatest, quietest party of all time because they just get ready, load themselves up and go to the Valley.
They preload at your place and then take off. Well, it does beg the question, though. What's the worst?
Love to know.
What's the easiest and what's the worst?
I reckon the behaviour peaks at its worst around. Some of the stuff at my 50th was some of the worst behaved people.
Well, let's find out.
Easiest party to have at your house or the worst party to have at your house? What age? What event? Are we talking the 7th birthday party where the petting zoo went crazy? Is it a 50th?
Actually, there's sometimes the worry where you have younger ones, but their mums all want a few wines.
Oh, yeah. Or the 80th. Those old octogenarians go nuts.
All right. Best and worst party to have at your house. Tony, you're saying you've found a group, an age birthday party that's really wild.
5-year-olds, mate.
Oh, 5-year-olds.
5-year-olds. Why?
You've got a fairy bred in them. How?
We were living up in Catherine at the time at the Tyndall RAF base. And my boys are older now, but we bought a commercial pinata.
A commercial one, yeah.
What's
hung
a commercial?
It up.
Hang on, Tony. What's a commercial pinata?
The ones that you don't make yourself, a properly made one.
Yeah. Okay. Right,
yeah. And they weren't cracking it with their little arms. They couldn't hit it properly. So I gave it a few whacks, and I'm thinking, well, this isn't going to come apart. So I ended up grabbing it and just ripping it apart, and lollies went everywhere. And my son, being the birthday boy, thought they all belonged to him. And whenever all the kids die for it, he's dropped the F-bomb, told them all to go.
There
was a few stunned looks on mum's and dad's faces, and he ended up having a bit of a chat with me in the bedroom.
Yeah. Hanging around the base too long, I think, in the officer's mess.
He's trying to... F off, that's my fizz whiz. That's fantastic.
I thought it was going to be that normal pinata thing where you give them a cricket bat to break it and they miss, of course, and then hit some girl's head.
How good was Aurora, Brendo, Brendo and I, Friday night? I took my younger son, Piper, because the other two were off playing football for their school. And it was the longest game I think I have ever been to.
I was working with a few of the Fox Sports people who worked on Friday night at Suncorp. I was with them Saturday night. They went till 11:30. They were all whinging. Because they're normally done by 10:30. They're all going, mate, it was nearly 12 before we cleared out of there.
That, of course, was because we got to, Ed. You are the soccer aficionado.
No, well, penalty shootout. I mean, everyone knows that. You go through extra time forever, and then it was quite bizarre. I mean, you guys were there. I'm interested to know what the atmosphere was like because the
looked now, good. How many people were there?
17,000.
Good one. Yeah, 17.
Okay, you want the atmosphere? Here we go.
What time of the game is this?
That's the start.
Yeah.
Ah.
People were going absolutely nuts.
How many Wanderers
den,
fans?
Oh, they just had their little corner, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Same very place vocal, down that Milton vocal. Road end.
Yes,
yep,
indeed.
Yep. But here's the thing, and Brenda and I agree with this because we've had this conversation. Theo, who's the wonderful goalie.
Kept us in it at the first half. I watched
it on
telly. Definitely,
and he is so good and he like saved so many. But then when it came to the penalty shootouts, I reckon that he was took himself out.
Mm.
He didn't he got injured. He rolled across that guy came in and he rolled across the ball. What are you saying? He dogged it?
No. I'm not saying he dogged
it.
No, I didn't. What I said is that he got injured, but I think that if the push came to shove, I reckon he was ready to hand it over to Young.
Yeah. Well, hang on. There is a thing in some – the Dutch have done this in the past. This is an old trick, is that one of your goalkeepers – it's a bit of a penalty
specialist.
And it mucks with the minds of the opposition's penalty takers if you change your goalie. So that, I don't know, maybe.
But when Jamie Young came on, now I was switching between league and this, but when he came on, didn't he save one in the second part of extra time?
He made a save straight away. It was top left and straight over the bar. It was great. I guess you don't want any doubt in your mind either. If you are the keeper, you are injured, you feel like it was your fault. If you
it's a bloody good idea because saving penalties is all about a spring off the ground. And if you've played 110 minutes, you've got no spring left.
Interesting.
But here's an observation from my 12-year-old who was passionate about his football. He wasn't watching during the penalty shootouts. He wasn't watching.
Remind everyone what happened in the penalty shootout. So when one, two, three. They all got them all, didn't they?
Yeah. So how does it work that you can only take one shot per person, can't you? Yeah. And you just work your way through the team.
Through the team. You nominate five people, and then after that you've got to keep having an order, and eventually it gets to the goalies, and then if you get to the goalies, then you start all over again.
Well, I think it was the sixth, was it? The fifth or the sixth? Okay, so here's my son not watching as the guys are going up to shoot, but he's watching the coaches. And as soon as the Japanese import for the Wanderers came up, straight away, as he was walking towards the goal, my son said, he's not going to get it.
Why?
I said, well, what do you mean? How do you know that? And he said, look at his coach.
What?
And the coach just had a completely different set of body language. And, of course, he didn't make it.
Because he's seen him at training and knows he's not much.
Well, what would he let him do up there?
Well,
because often people don't want – I've spoken to Socceroos and various other professional footballers over the years about that process of taking a penalty.
Oh, it's huge.
And a lot of times people disappear. They don't want the responsibility. Quite famously – in a World Cup, some of the English players, for one of their many penalty shootout losses, some of their players were hiding behind the bench so that the coach, just pretending to be a fan, like just jump the boards, they're just pretending to be, grab a beer. I'll stand in this crowd with a beer.
Nothing to see.
So they didn't have to take a penalty.
And the Japanese guy missed it.
And he missed it.
And we're through.
Terrible penalty.
And we're through to the next final this weekend, of course.
Well, it might be next weekend.
No, it's not next weekend.
All right. Why isn't it next weekend?
Never
mind. How can you stretch it out? If that was an elimination final, you've got to play again this weekend and then the grand final's on, surely.
Yeah,
not in the A-League. I'll tell you what, I had a brush with Legacy last year. I did their lunch and often seen as, you know, older people get helped by Legacy. But I opened my eyes up last year that increasingly it's an organisation that helps young families who are dealing with losses from, well, what I'd call the modern wars, whether it's Afghanistan or Iraq. And I've brought this young bloke in here today to tell you one of the most phenomenal stories and to tell you what Legacy does in these days. Let me introduce you to Will Beckwith.
Hey, Will.
Great. What are you now? Grade?
Nine.
Grade nine at Padua College. So, Will, tell, you got on stage last year at the Legacy Lunch.
Yeah.
And I didn't know your story, but everyone sat there, an audience of 500 people sat there gobsmacked. Tell us your story from your perspective.
When I was 6 years old, my dad died of cancer.
But there's a chance the brain tumour came from his time in the Navy. I don't know, you probably don't even know that or realise that.
Yeah, that's that came from a broken radio, I think.
So we got radiation and cancer.
At the time, it was very hard for us. And when Legacy came in, it just became so much easier.
But why did Legacy get involved?
If a family loses their loved one, like a veteran from the wars or something, then Legacy will step in and help you. They'll pay for college fees and university fees and stuff and school fees.
Wow. So you've now, obviously, you're much older. Have Legacy been a part of that whole journey through your childhood?
Legacy have been a massive part. They might have been the deciding factor in how I am or who I am today.
Really? Why?
If I hadn't met Legacy, I would have been a very different person. And, I would have been, less happy, angry all the time, and, less of a jolly person than I am now.
Over the years, I think you told us last year it had brought you together with other kids who had lost their dads through the services.
Yeah, that's probably one of the exciting things about, one of the main things about Legacy. They get us, a bunch of us kids together for camps and stuff and, take us away to, Melbourne or the snow. Some of my best friends for life, I've been introduced through Legacy.
Let's bring your mum in, because Rebecca's here. You tell us what Legacy have done for you guys.
Initially, when Peter passed away, I was 31. William was 4. Ella wasn't even crawling. She was actually 7.5 months old.
Oh.
So at that time in my life, my other friends were getting married, having their kids, and I was on a completely different stage. And I mean, I lost friends over it because they didn't know how to deal with my grief. And then I was introduced to these Legacy ladies, and they knew exactly how I was feeling.
They'd been there before, hadn't they?
Yeah, exactly. And the advice that they can offer isn't one of the cliches, he's in a better place or he's not in pain anymore. They offer real sentiment. For example, being told, hi Rebecca, I'm so sorry to meet you. That's not a normal greeting. And yet I absolutely got it. And I still, when I'm introduced to new widows coming in, I'll say the same thing. Hi, I'm Rebecca. So sorry to meet you.
So Rebecca, you now help people who are more recently widowed than yourself as they come towards Legacy.
Yes. I've actually, I started working for Legacy in 2012. At the time, they were using William and Ella in a lot of their brochures, just to really highlight the fact that Legacy is not just, the traditional older ladies, that we had a new wave of younger widows with young kids coming on board because of Australia's recent activity in the conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of had a foot in the door already, and they decided to take me on full time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hearing your story today, and you're right. I think even I might have been guilty of thinking that Legacy perhaps, I thought of them more as an older organisation. But meeting you guys today and seeing that it's, 12,000 families that Legacy assists each year, it's an absolutely incredible job that they do. So thank you so much for coming in and telling us your story. And if, as we get towards Anzac Day, we're going to see people out there selling the Legacy badges and asking you to support, then if you can, then you can reach into your pocket and know that they're doing absolutely fantastic work. Thanks so much for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and of course, we'll be on air tomorrow from 4 o'clock, 4 in the morning, of course, covering the dawn service. That will be live here on Brisbane's 104.5, the new Triple M. It's Marto, Ed and Robin.